Hello and welcome back for another As It Is program. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. We are here to help you learn and improve your American English. If you are using a computer to hear us, be sure to print the script and then download and save the audio as a podcast. That way you can go back and listen again and again whenever you like. For today, we talk about the recent presidential elections in Indonesia. Even though the results are complete, the loser says he will offer a challenge. We'll fill you in. Then our attention shifts to Hong Kong and the story of people who live high up on the roofs of buildings. But these residents are not living in expensive penthouses. They are actually living in slums. Details will be coming your way in less than 5 minutes from the Voice of America. Now, here is part one of today's program. The unsuccessful candidate in the Indonesian presidential election has decided to challenge or officially dispute the result. Former Army General Prabowo Subianto will ask the country's constitutional court to overturn the vote count. Christopher Cruz joins us to explain the general's position.
His spokesman announced his decision on Wednesday. The announcement came a day after the country's election commission named former Jakarta Governor Joko Widodo the winner of the July 9th vote. Mr. Subianto said he believes many people were paid to mark their ballots for Mr. Widodo. The former Army General accuses the election commission of failing to investigate accusations of dishonesty. The court is expected to take about a month to consider the case. Most political observers believe General Subianto will not succeed. Edward Aspinall is an expert in Indonesian politics at the Australian National University. He told VOA it would be difficult for the court to overturn a 6-point difference in the vote count.
I think the chances are pretty much close to zero, and there would be no precedent in recent Indonesian electoral history of a constitutional court overturning a result to that extent. The allegations are also, from what we can see, don't seem to be particularly strong.
No violence has been reported following the announcement of the election results. However, thousands of police and military forces have been deployed in case of unrest. Mr. Aspinall says many groups that support Prabowo Subianto have been willing to use violence in the past, but he does not believe they will do so now.
There's a coalition of organizations or people with a background and history of violence on that particular side, so you can never rule it out entirely. But my sense is that the further we go with the process, the chances of that sort of thing begin to diminish, partly because the coalition that coalesced around Prabowo during the election campaign is really starting to disintegrate.
Joko Widodo spoke earlier this week, before the official results were released. The results showed that he won 53% of the vote. He said that now is the time for the country to come together after a difficult campaign.
Kami juga meminta kepada seluruh rakyat Indonesia untuk menjaga.
He said he is certain that the struggle to achieve an Indonesia that is sovereign, independent, and true to its character can only be achieved if we work together. And he said, now is the time to work together. World leaders have already begun congratulating Joko Widodo on his victory. A statement by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said the United States looks forward to working with him. Many Indonesians believe Mr. Widodo will reform the country's government. He is one of the few candidates not linked to Suharto, the country's long-time dictator. Suharto was ousted in 1998. He died in 2008. Prabowo Subianto was once married to a daughter of Suharto. The former presidential candidate took strong nationalist positions during the campaign. Many people were worried that he would move the country away from rights of personal freedom. He has been accused of rights abuses. They include permitting the arrest of democracy activists during his time as an army general. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Rising housing prices in Hong Kong are hurting low-income residents. Many people who live in the city are being forced into unsafe and illegal living conditions. Some Hong Kong residents have built low-cost dwellings on the roofs, top levels of high buildings. They may pay rent, make periodic payments, for these poor living spaces to owners they do not trust. The dwellings have poor protection against extreme heat and other dangerous weather. And the city government cannot meet the growing need of affordable public rental housing. Su Xingyun makes her home in a rooftop living space. She says she does not have the money to pay for better places.
The rent is so high out there. How can we leave this place? It costs at least several hundred dollars. We cannot afford it.
Her two daughters have to walk up and down 10 levels of steps on their way to school and back home. They often do their homework in very high heat or under a leaking roof. They share a single bed, a small living room, and another area outside. The open-air space serves as both a kitchen and a bathroom. The roof offers little privacy because it shares the space with similar places. The family of Su Xingyun has lived here for 4 years, but now the government says they must leave. Su Xingyun moved here from mainland China to join her husband. He has lived on the rooftop for 20 years. She said she has requested safer public housing every year.
During a typhoon, I'm really afraid. I'm worried that the roof will collapse because I can feel the walls shaking. It's not safe for a family.
On a rooftop in the working-class Sham Shui Po neighborhood, some residents own their homes. Others pay rent to the landlord. Quang Xuan is a Vietnamese refugee who has lived there for 10 years. He pays about $130 a month.
I will stay as long as they don't demolish this place. If they do, I will have to leave, and I may have to sleep in the streets.
A growing number of new, costly apartments are being built in Hong Kong. Some of them sell for more than $50 million. And as housing prices rise, the city is having difficulty finding rooms for its poorest people. Community worker Angela Liu says many people cannot pay for even Hong Kong's cheapest places to live.
When you want to rent a subdivided unit in urban city, what you need is a deposit, the commission, the first month rent, and altogether can be more than 10,000. It is a little bit a big number, big amount of money that the family under poverty can't afford.
No exact record of the number of poor rooftop homes exists. Officials said they removed 400,000 unlawful buildings, including rooftop dwellings, between 2001 and 2011. Most were removed for safety reasons. They are being torn down faster than the government can place people in homes they can afford. At the same time, the waiting list for public housing is getting longer. At the end of March of this year, there were almost 250,000 requests for public rental housing. The housing department said the average waiting period is 3 years.
You are listening to the Voice of America. We're coming to you from Washington.